Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. Here's your host, Brother Robert Johnson.
All right, this is episode 305. In the news this week, not a whole lot going on outside of some of the news we talked about on the Masonic Roundtable. If you'd like to check that episode out, it was a really good episode we had last week regarding the training that a Grand Lodge provides for officers of our lodges. Some really good information. This week on the Masonic Roundtable, we've got another great episode coming up. I believe we have a guest coming on, and we're talking about why there are so many negative people inside our fraternity today. So it may be of interest if you know a couple guys like that, or maybe you get shot down on social media all the time, or whatever the case may be. So look for that. And this week I'll be doing an episode with Frodero, I believe. And I'm also recording an episode which will come out soon, which will be Star Wars and Freemasonry. Now, Frodero and I did an episode where we discussed a little bit of the symbolism behind it all. And this additional episode about Star Wars and Freemasonry will feature a couple guys and myself who will talk about their theories, and in general, we'll have a really good conversation. It'll be fun. So you can look forward to that as well. I will also be having on Brother Stephen L. Harrison, 33rd degree, on an upcoming episode for a kind of interview slash ask Steve Harrison anything. So like an AMA with Steve Harrison. How are you going to submit the questions? So if you've got a question for Stephen L. Harrison, go ahead and email it over to me and we'll pick a few out. And those lucky people who send in a question will get one of his books. I have four to give out. He sent me five, so I'm going to put one in my library and I'm going to take the other four, and we are going to do a giveaway. But in order to get one, you have to write a question, and we are going to limit it to the first four questions we get. But they got to be good questions. So if you just send me what's your favorite color, you're definitely not getting a book. But in any case, he's going to be on the show soon too, and so we'll have more details about that as the time approaches. With that, let's go ahead and get into this week's episode. I've got two pieces for you. Both are quite unique. And the first one is a great piece that was actually published on, guess where? The Midnight Freemasons. And it's by worshipful brother Darren A. Lonners, who is one of the newer contributors on the blog. So I figured, let's go ahead and grab one of his pieces and let's get it out there to everybody if they didn't get a chance to read it. What's so funny about Peace, Love, and Understanding by worshipful brother Darren A. Lonners? There's a lot of discontent currently in our nation. It's palpable on social media. Luckily, in our fraternity, we leave two leading causes of discontent outside of the inner door to our lodge room, namely politics and religion. But are we leaving our individual discontent at the inner door? I would argue that in my recent experience, we have not. One of the downfalls of social media is the ability to instantaneously communicate one's opinion to a large audience. This often does not allow one to think through one's social media posts. We can instantly post something in a moment of emotional upheaval, and even if we quickly take the post down, there's a good chance that some of your brethren might have seen it. Unfortunately, in the lodge room, we don't even have the option to unpost an opinion. Once words are uttered to another brother, they can be forgiven, but they are often not forgotten. I have two recent examples of disharmony in the lodge. The first example involves two brothers. One brother decided to speak while the other was answering the worshipful master. The brother who was interrupted took offense to this and objected to the other brother interrupting him. The brother who did the interrupting felt that the other brother was wrong for objecting. This brother became so upset, you could see the anger manifest itself physically. In fact, we had balloting that evening, and the brother was protesting to me regarding it at the altar as I went to cast my ballot. I replied that technically, the other brother was not wrong because he did not interrupt him, and I asked him to practice brotherly love. I would love to say that cooler heads prevailed, but luckily the brothers remained separated during the meeting. After the meeting, the brother who was physically upset abruptly left before sparks flew. The brother who was interrupted was going to discuss it with the other brother, but I felt that was probably not the wise course of action. The next day, I received an email from the brother who was upset the night before. He was still upset. In order to protect the privacy of those brothers involved, I won't get into the specifics of the email. However, my reply is below. Quote, I would just ask that you remember your obligations, and I will tell him the same. I understand you have a lot on your plate. From his perspective, he has a lot on his plate. It's not my job to say or judge that. You are both my friends and my brothers. All of the things you've said about him, I've heard from others about you. I've spent plenty of time defending you as much as you might feel I might be defending him. Brothers fight, but at the end of the day, we are all brothers. I just want harmony in the lodge. End quote. My second example of disharmony in the lodge also involves two brothers. One of the brothers was filling in a chair for the other, who was not present at the beginning of the lodge meeting. The brother who was not present finally knocked and was admitted to the lodge room about 20 minutes after lodge started. When this brother came in, he glared at the brother who was occupying his chair. The other brother, who was in the chair, made a joke to the brother about being late, which was received with a flurry of expletives. The brother then decided to give the brethren in our lodge the double one-finger salute. While he was on his tirade, the worshipful master and senior warden were trying to get the brother to sit down on the sidelines and behave himself. We later found out that the brother had been defrauded $4,000 that day, and he apologized for his actions and words. He also sought out the other brother later after the meeting and apologized again. Problem solved? I think the brother forgave him, but it leads me to my next point. What I'm about to say might be taken the wrong way, and I think that brothers might object to it, but I'm going to say it anyway. In the words of Ice Cube, you better check yourself before you wreck yourself. What do I mean? For those of you who don't know who Ice Cube is, I'll suggest a Google search. If you're coming to lodge with an attitude, you're going to have a bad time. Do yourself a favor and your brothers a favor, and don't come to lodge if you are unable to put your ego and emotions in check. I know what I just said is considered blasphemy. There are lodges that are struggling to have a quorum for stated meetings, and I'm suggesting this. Hear me out. If you're bringing your baggage into the lodge room with you, then what are you really doing? Are we not reminded that harmony is the strength and support of all institutions, especially ours, while opening on the EA degree? If you're coming to lodge and you're going to disrupt the lodge, then you're going to cause disharmony. Is this fair to the other brethren? No, it's not. If you can't subdue your passions enough to put your attitude and ego into check, then you're not able to meet on the level with your brethren. If you can't meet on the level, then you probably shouldn't be in the lodge room with others who can. Yes, I understand that tempers can flare. We are human after all, which is why in Illinois we pray to the Supreme Architect at the beginning of our meetings to bless us so that the meeting can be conducted in peace and closed in harmony. But ultimately, we not only need to guard the West Gate from cowens and eavesdroppers, but also from brothers intent on causing disharmony. I want to end on a broader point. If you're encountering an issue that is impacting you on an emotional level, then maybe you need to reach out to your lodge before the meeting. Explain the situation to them. There's a good chance that one of your brothers has gone through something similar. They might be able to understand your situation and empathize. I understand that everyone's different, and there are some folks that might be embarrassed by doing something like this. But what is family for? When you become a Mason, you join a family. Family is there to support you in your times of need. Remember that your brothers are there for you as well. They will be more than willing to help you, if you let them. Let the trowel do its work of spreading brotherly love and cementing our brotherhood. Worshipful Brother Darren A. Lonners is the Worshipful Master of St. Joseph Lodge No. 970 in St. Joseph and a plural member of Ogden Lodge No. 754 in Illinois and Homer Lodge No. 199. He's a member of the Scottish Rite Valley of Danville, a charter member of the New Illinois Royal Arch Chapter Admiration Chapter under dispensation, and is the current secretary of the Illinois High 12 Club No. 768 in Champaign, Urbana, Illinois. He is also a member of the Eastern Illinois Council 356 of Allied Masonic Degrees. And when he's not busy enjoying Masonic Fellowship, Darren spends his time as a DM for his children's D&D campaign, reading, golfing, watching movies, and listening to music. You can reach him by email at darren.lonners@gmail.com. All right, now comes the point in the show. I'm just going to ask you to check out our Support the Show link. So go over to wcypodcast.com, hover over the Support the Show tab, and you will see several options. You can make a direct donation either once, or you can sign up to do monthly. You can have a lapel pin, a tie bar, cufflinks, or a money clip, all with our show's logo and pin on it. It's a exclusive design you're not going to get anywhere else. You can click on Get On It or Alpha Brain. So if you click that, you'll see some of the links to some of my favorite products that On It Labs does and what they have generously granted us, a 10% discount to our listeners if you use the promo code WCY at checkout. Also, go through our links so that they know who sent them to their site. That way they can also send a little bit back to this show to help out. And one of our main sponsors, buybankersbest.com. So if you go there, please check them out. Use the promo code BBWCY357 at checkout and you'll get 20% off. And we also have a Thrive account. So check out WCY and Thrive. All of those things are brought to you here are unique ways in helping the listener-supported education that Whence Came You provides. So thanks very much to all of our contributors and our producers to the show. You are the reason we are able to do this. Now, on to our next piece, which is the theme for this week. All right, and the next piece I have for you is something that I wrote that's not been published yet. So this may appear somewhere in the future, perhaps a little more polished, but I figured that I would just put it out there for you now. It's called A Fraternity in the Midst of Finding Itself, Tough Choices and Cognitive Dissonance by R.H. Johnson. The viewpoints expressed within this piece in no way reflect the statements or positions made by any Grand Lodge, especially the Grand Lodge of the State of Illinois. These are my own, and they are my opinions. The year was 2008, a cool April evening when I became a Master Mason. There were 15 people present, including the officers. After all was said and done, I was impressed by what had transpired. A beautiful degree fraught with perils, mental challenges, and deep personal esoteric meaning. But that was the end. I was told it was supposed to be the beginning. What in the world was going on? What ensued was the typical journey comprising 8 years of my life as I moved from chair to chair, office to office. Along the way, taking on some additional Grand Lodge duties, being a district education officer, an assistant district deputy grand master, and eventually the actual district deputy grand master. And this is where I am today, sitting here and thinking about what in the hell is this thing? You see, it didn't take long, about 4 years of active service, traveling and reading, to figure out that Freemasonry is this thing that has almost the vaguest of descriptors, quote-unquote, to make good men better. Alternatively, the antiquated but probably more interesting, quote, peculiar system of morality veiled in allegory and illustrated by symbols, end quote, is, in my opinion, a better choice of words, but it's all so vague. I wrote a piece recently for the Midnight Freemasons and the Illinois Lodge of Research, which was called What Freemasonry Teaches We Don't Know, in which I outline several factors that contribute to the statement in the title. I quoted the Grand Lodge of California in the paper's opening, which in it contains verbiage to the effect of the Masonic Committee on Education has no idea what we are supposed to teach. It is in this problem that the real issue in our craft resides. We apparently teach men to be better by delivering an old lecture by memory, mispronouncing things and mumbling through it, or by reading the minutes. Educating our members is a key priority. It's actually why we exist. Without teaching our members, it's largely just a social club who gathers once a month, maybe more or maybe less, to discuss meaningless garbage like minutes, light bulbs, who left what door open, and missing keys. Give them a reason to show up, for God's sake. Countless lodges in our state just go through the motions. They open using the bare minimum members. They double up on duties as they muddle through it in 15 minutes and close. What in the hell is the point of that? Just to say that you had dinner together or after with your fellows? That's preposterous. There clearly exists two kinds of masonry. The first is the social order, which, the mindset mentioned above, prevails above all else. Because education doesn't matter to these types, they assume that the meetings which run as previously mentioned is the norm. There is no problem. It's just the way it is, until of course the day they can't open. Then they begin to complain. There are a great many men in Freemasonry. My home state of Illinois is home to about 60,000 members. In a state with so many Freemasons and it being the 21st century, naturally they will find themselves on social media websites like Facebook, where they will discuss the craft, its issues, delights, and intricacies on a regular basis. Recently, there was a post about a lodge that may be closing down due to the number of men who attend, seconded by the fact that only past masters fill the sidelines, and lastly, that the executive officers are totally new to the fraternity. My immediate response to this was that this is typical. New men occupying the East, West, and South? Good. Past masters on the sidelines and not being recycled? Great. But the complaints go on. No other attendance, going through the motions, reading the minutes because there is no other content in the meeting, etc. My next comments were that they should just shut down the lodge and let the members either join another lodge or let those serious about Freemasonry start a new lodge. My point is that in this fraternity there are some hard choices that we have to make, and oftentimes due to cognitive dissonance we act upon instinctual emotion rather than logic. This has a detriment to the fraternity. What purpose are you serving by merely opening and closing once a month? What if the same effort was put into becoming the education officer or some other position at another lodge in the district? Trade in one meaningless job for a meaningful one? I know, it's crazy talk. Ultimately, the history of a lodge is given way too much weight. When we talk about success, what place does heritage have in today's world? It's a fact. No one wants our old crap. Don't get me wrong. If you're a historic lodge and you're active and healthy, great. But if it isn't, don't keep it open because it has quote-unquote heritage or some emotional attachment. Close it. You'll be doing the fraternity a favor. Consider the scenario. Think about a prospective who can either attend one of three fledgling lodges within the district. He visits each one and can't believe he even thought about joining this decrepit institution. Or maybe he visits a lodge which contains the previously three mentioned lodges and they've bonded together, and he sees a healthy lodge and he can't wait to join. The other kind of masonry is the kind that focuses on education as a priority. Its meetings are packed in comparison. Members gather to hear new viewpoints, learn, and be taken out of their comfort zone. This is the opposite of cognitive dissonance, the very thing that the social brand of masonry totally avoids. These social Masonic lodges tend to focus on the status quo and never challenge our thinking because it makes us feel weird. Challenging our existing preconceptions is how we grow and become better, yet it just doesn't happen in three-quarters of the lodges out there. More than half of the state of Illinois operates in this manner. Members show up and value the experience of sharing time with one another. It has a tremendous value. But what intrinsic value does it serve in the way of self-betterment? None. And so we're left with hard choices. Does the fraternity openly admit that it's a school and implement these things? Risk putting thousands of men off by expecting them to learn a new way and to participate in what we are supposed to be doing? Or do we meander along, letting those who truly understand promote our philosophies without making waves? The side effect. Investing in education will produce a net growth, stronger character, good leadership, a spiritual man, and a cultured individual. Someone who will listen more than speak. Someone who will value the opinions of others, and ultimately, to be a champion for progressive morality. The cost of going with the alternative is to ensure mediocrity. To let the trend of social club masonry continue is to ensure that the line separating the Masonic fraternity from others is eternally blurred to a point of non-existence. To invest in this, or rather, to simply carry on as we've been, is to absolutely invest in the continued failure of Freemasonry. It's time to make a statement, one that cannot be undone from the edict of Grandmaster to Grandmaster, a statement that conclusively defines Freemasonry and that we teach men through the study of philosophy contained within the ritual and peripheral sources to be better men, that no longer will Freemasonry be merely a mundane service organization for the community to dump dollars into for the mere stagnated, encrusted existence of a quote-unquote historic hall. The statement needs to be adhered to as much as the ancient charges and landmarks are. A single unified statement that defines this fraternity and instantly generates a mental image of both leadership and mental prowess. It's time to get to work, to drop the mentality of volunteerism, to understand that the obligation you took, that one that we take so seriously and quote whenever we see a brother make mention of an idea outside of our own comfort zone, also includes other things, paramount of which is to learn and to lead. You are a Freemason for the rest of your life, not just 3 hours or 40 hours a month. To the brothers out there who oppose this, who maintain you do it your way and we'll do it ours, you're falling victim to the cognitive dissonance. You are ardently opposing the truth in an effort to preserve the emotional connection to what you remember, what you have, and what you believe Masonry to be. The truth is, however, is that you're wrong. Tough choices are ahead, and it's time to make them. Brothers, we are at the crossroads. You can continue on for a while and die, or rise above, become better, and live, ensuring a philosophical school, a rite of passage, and an American tradition lay in wait for your sons. And that is the end of that piece. I hope you enjoyed. I wrote that as kind of a soapbox piece to be able to deliver to some folks, and I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope it's a wake-up call for some brothers, and I hope it riles you all up. That's kind of the point. So with that, I wish you all a very great week, and please do not forget to visit our sponsors, the Support the Show tabs on WCYpodcast.com. Please don't forget about the Masonic Roundtable going live every Tuesday night at 10, 9 Central, and you can interact with us via Twitter and our Facebook feed for the event. And please also check out the Midnight Freemasons, where we publish 3 articles every single week, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. With that, I would like you to all stay on the level. Until next week, for Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson.
You've been listening to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry with your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Be sure to join us for our next edition.